I'd like to introduce our speaker. He's been on my calls before. He probably does about one or two a year. We love him dearly. He's a man that I met, I don't know, 14-some years ago, I guess, back when I was in the midst of the throes of doing some intensive personal development work, which I recognized I needed only so well after I started on the path, and it just became clearer and clearer every moment. And Patrick, at the advanced level, made it even clearer to me how much I needed it. So he was very, very thoughtful, very insightful. In fact, I kept wondering how he knew me so well, and we had never met before. So anyway, he's an incredible guy. Since the time I first met him, we've become great friends. I love supporting him and, you know, following him and continue to learn from him. As he is truly the ultimate samurai in my mind, and I just enjoy having him on this call to share and touch your lives as well. Today he's going to talk about being a spectator or a player, which is a great topic for all of us. And without further ado, I'll introduce to you all, this is Patrick Dean. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Can you hear me okay?
Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me? Mary Jo? Hello? I can
Patrick
hear you.
Patrick Dean?
Yes, I am.
Does he need to...
I can hear you.
You can,
yes,
can you hear me, everybody?
I can hear both of you.
We can hear both of you.
I can't hear Patrick. I'm not sure. Did we lose
Yes.
you? Star 6, Patrick, if you're muted.
No, they can all hear
me. There you are. I got you. You're on. I probably can't hear you through the rain. All right. I'm going to Star 6 and mute myself so you don't have to listen to the raindrop. So, Patrick, take over. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. And thank you guys for chiming in. It's really the technology of it is it's just a whole lot of fun and challenging. So, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's really nice to be on the call with you. I think every time I get to talk with Mary Jo, with Lydia, talk with all of you guys, it's just a privilege because I love talking with people that have forward momentum, that have a plan, that are excited about the future, excited about what they can create. And my experience has been is that you guys on the call are really doing that. You're on an incredible path, and I'm going to talk about path in just a few minutes. Before I get completely into the topic and the short time that we have together, I want to give you some numbers to write down as a resource. So here's your resource number, and then I'm going to talk about at the end, we'll talk about how you can use those in the offer there. So the first one is my personal email, and I'd like you to write this down if you have a journal notebook or a piece of paper in front of you. My name is Patrick Dean, and my email is deanphd@earthlink.net. deanphd@earthlink.net. And I can be reached, and I will tell you about at the end a reason you may want to get a hold of me or use me as a resource for yourself. The second one is a woman's name that's associate with of mine. Her name is Carla Puentes, P-U-E-N-T-E-S, and Carla is working with a live training that we're going to be doing in the Amarillo area, and I want to give you her number. So that's 806-886-8461. And I'm going to post
Patrick, this is Mary Jo. Sounds like your phone is cutting in and out. It might just be me, and I don't know. Anyone else on the line having problems hearing Patrick? Or is it just Mary Jo? Anyone want to?
It's just
Star
Mary
six?
Jo, I think.
You
I'm
think
not having...
So you're hearing him loud and clear?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. I'll just mute and I'll be quiet. You guys enjoy the call.
Okay.
So,
would you repeat your email?
Sure. D-E-A-N, my last name, Dean, and then three letters. PhD at earthlink.net. So that's how you can get a hold of me anytime, and I'll tell you at the end why you may want to. Facebook, I am on Facebook, and I'm going to post all this information I just gave you on Facebook Seminar Systems. So all you have to do is search in Facebook for Seminar Systems, and that'll be posted at the end of this call, the information about how to get a hold of me. So I'm going to post that on Seminar Systems. All right. When I was thinking this morning about talking with you all, a story came up for me that I heard, and it's an ancient legend. And this is the legend of the 36. And I want to share it with you this morning. This comes from thousands of years old ancient Jewish tradition. And they talk about the 36 just people, is what they call it, the 36 just people. And the legend says that on this planet at any given time, there are 36 just people. And when they say just people, what they mean is that 36 people carry the heart of God, his message within them. So the message of compassion and love and the message of the path and all of God's experience is carried within these 36 people on earth. And the legend says there are 36 because God never wanted to leave the earth without people that understood full justice and full experience of love. Now, one of the interesting things about this legend is that the 36 people, when one dies, another one replaces them. So there's always 36 in this story. And the thing is that the 36 never know that they're one of the 36. And that we would never really know who those 36 people are. And so they're anonymous to themselves and to other people, yet they carry this experience within them. And what this story legend reminds me of when I hear it is the idea that no matter who we meet, it could be one of the 36. You see, I know in my work, I meet so many people, talk to so many people, that sometimes I can get discouraged working with people. I can get, I can feel like maybe I'm not understood, or the message is not getting across, or there's other stuff that comes up. And just the part of working with people so much, as you guys do, coaching and working with people, you can get an experience of being discouraged. And I think what this legend reminds me to do is that reminds me that every person that I'm with could be one of those 36 people. And in the legend, it reminds us of how to treat people in our lives and to know that you could be standing across from one of the 36 because they would never know it and we wouldn't know it. But to treat people with more compassion and more respect because we don't know. They could be carrying this deeply felt message with them. So the point of that, I think, for me is to not get discouraged and to work with people from where they're at and understand they could be one. And also, for all of us on the call here, is that when we look in the mirror sometimes, I know that what happens is that we will often be very self-critical of ourselves. If we do 30 great things in a day and we have one thing that didn't work out or a disappointment, often we'll go home at night and we'll think about not the 30 great things, but what we'll think about is what didn't work. And the idea of the 36 in the legend is that when you look in the mirror, you could be one of the 36. So are you treating yourself with respect? Are you taking care of yourself as one of as a person that deserves that? And so I just want to share that story with you, because operating with people with compassion and understanding, even though they may be acting out or doing all kinds of crazy stuff, people do that out of fear, or you know, and to treat people with that respect and also take care of ourselves. And in the light of taking care of ourselves, I think what you have is one of the most fantastic ways of doing that there is. First of all, I think that your product is about taking care of yourself. You know, what you're doing for people with the product and what you're putting out there for people is an amazing thing in this process of taking care of ourselves. So you are with a company that has a viewpoint of service and taking care. The second thing is that as you grow your business and as you get to work with Mary Jo and Lydia, you're taking care of yourself in the sense of personal growth. It's been my experience that the most successful people that I know of are eager to learn more and to discover more and to challenge themselves more. Now, I know that there are people that feel that they've arrived or they don't need any more or now they're the expert in the room. But it's been my experience that people that really create some joy and satisfaction in life are always on a lifelong path of learning. And when you're with, you know, when you're with Mary Jo and when you're listening to what she's talking about, you're being challenged all the time. The great part of yourself is being challenged all the time. So you're on this path, and this path is about treating yourself as one of those 36, as treating yourself as a person that deserves that respect, and you're always learning and growing. So I wanted to add to that this morning by talking about some concepts that I think are powerful, and I think they will have some value for you. And also at the end, I'm going to talk about some actions you can take, because I think concepts and ideas are really cool, but unless they're put into action, they don't really have much value. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we say in our trainings, whether I'm doing online trainings or whether I'm doing live trainings, is we say awareness without action doesn't really have any value. So the idea of learning more is really great, but unless it's put into consistent action, it doesn't really produce the results that we're looking for. So I'm going to definitely tie what I'm talking about into consistent action today. So you'll, at the end of this call, you'll have some actions to take, some stuff that you can really create a great week for yourself, and you know, things that you can consider and take on. So let's get into this a little bit. So I'm going to start with a basic context. Now, a context is the way that we look at our life. It's our worldview. And our context, how we see the world, is developed from our past experiences. It's developed from our ideas and belief systems. It's ideas that come from how we've interpreted things that have occurred for us. We get a lot of our context culturally from friends, from people around us. We get it. Take it for granted assumptions that we all have. And all of that put together is like the candy in a candy jar. Imagine you go to one of those old-fashioned pharmacies, and there's a soda fountain, and there's a candy store, and there's one of those old-fashioned like old pharmacy things, and you have this jar, big jar of candy. Candy is content. The actual candy within the jar is the content. And the jar itself is called the context, or I will use this metaphor, it's the context. So when I'm talking about context, all of us on the call have a worldview, a way of looking at things that's a context. That context will eventually really color the way that we see the world. And because we love to gather evidence to support our belief systems, what we'll do is we will eventually start to filter those things that come in from the outside through this context of right and wrong, or agree or disagree with ourselves. So there's a certain place, I think we cross a threshold when we're young or young teens or something like that. We cross a threshold when our ideas and beliefs, we start to gather evidence for those. Now, to break through in our lives, it's really important to understand how we're seeing things. So the concept, the start I want here is I'm going to talk about a concept, an idea that may be a little outside of our context. But in that, you can expand, in learning, you can expand your context. See, the exciting thing is that context, you can expand and grow if you're into learning. A lot of people have fixed context, and they're not going to, nothing's going to happen, and results are not going to, they're not going to get any different results, basically. And then there are you guys on the phone who are here because you want to learn. So the context is this. Every moment is a choice, and every choice in our life has prices and it has benefits. So every moment is a choice. Every choice that we make in our life has prices and benefits. It sounds so simplistic, but a lot of powerful concepts are pretty baseline, simple, and powerful. Now, I'll give you an idea of choice. I'll give you a great example, I feel, of choice. Now, I do a lot of work in Australia. I love to travel down there. It's a beautiful country with not a whole lot of people in it, and everybody lives near the ocean. It's a wonderful place to do business. It's a wonderful place to work with people. So in Australia, they have a game called rugby. Some of you are familiar with it. It's really rough and tumble. And everybody gets really excited about their rugby matches. They wear their jerseys. They have a great time. They cheer. They have parties at their house and watch the game over a big screen and have an amazing time. You guys love your sports as well here, so you can relate to this. So if we go to a rugby match, a football match, baseball, or anything, and we're in the stands, I don't know if you've experienced it, but there's a certain energy that goes along with being in the stands. It's awesome to be in the stands watching a sporting event and be surrounded by people who are cheering and excited and there because they just love watching and being involved. Now, I'm going to get back to every moment's a choice, but let me follow this trail a little bit. So when we're in the stands and watching people play on the field, we can name that a lot of things, but I'm going to, for our call here, for our short time together, I'm going to call it spectator. Now, you're operating in the stands as a spectator. If it's true that every moment is a choice and every choice has prices and benefits, there's great benefits for being a spectator. And I think we can talk about those benefits. Like, for instance, the benefit of being able to cheer and excitement, being excited, being with people that support you. We all love connection. Human beings love connection. And so we love to be connected around a sport or around anything that we relate to with each other. And so being in the stands is exciting. Being in the stands is connecting. And we can get a thrill by watching our team and cheering for our team. So there's a great experience in spectating. Now, the issue with spectating is there's also a price that we pay for spectating rather than being a player. So I'm going to talk about player in a minute. So we're distinguishing between spectator and player. And as a spectator, one of the issues of spectating is that we get, when we leave the sporting event, a couple days later, the excitement and stuff wears off. Normal thing. That excitement, that connection, all that kind of stuff sort of wears off. So spectating is event-driven experience. So from one event to the next, we have this experience. Now, one of the great benefits of being a spectator is that you get to have an opinion about everything that's going on down in the field. You get to have an opinion about who, you know, what the coach should have done or how they're playing or anything else. Now, opinions, ideas about how what other people should be doing are fine and they're okay and there are ways to relate to each other. But an opinion is an amazing thing in the sense that opinions about what should be occurring or how people should do things or how people should be have no inherent responsibility attached to them. My friend says that being a critic is the world's easiest job because there's no responsibility of any action attached to it. I don't know. If you listen to or hear the radio stations on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday after a Sunday game where everybody calls in and they talk about what the coaches should have done and how this other player should have done this and that, and it's a real industry of opinion. Now, the thing about opinion, as I said, to keep in mind is opinions and the like are okay, but they have no inherent responsibility or action attached to them. They're easy to give. Easy to give. Now, let's talk about the people down on the field who've suited up, and they're down on the field playing. Huge prices for playing on the field. Number one, this idea of criticism because you're playing. It's an amazing thing that you're putting yourself at some risk being criticized or critique or ideas from the outside that are making assessments about what you're doing as a player. Another thing about suiting up is that you put yourself at risk because you're going to bring the best that you have, and it's very possible it wouldn't be enough to win the game. So you're bringing your best, you're bringing who you are, and perhaps you can win or lose. So the idea of accomplishment and the idea of setbacks occur as part of being a player. You can be injured down on the field. There's all kinds of stuff that could happen to you down on the field. And that's when you decide that you're going to step into a home-based business, that you're going to be an entrepreneur, that you're going to step forward, one of the things that I'm very clear on, because I'm an entrepreneur and a business owner, is that there's all kinds of possibilities for wins and losses. There's not so much possibility for wins and losses being a spectator and a critic and a watcher. And so those of us that decide to step on the field got to know that there's a price to pay. But on the other hand, and here's what I think is amazingly exciting, is that the benefits of playing are so powerful and they create such an experience in life that we really want to take a look at the idea of playing versus spectating. And here's what I mean. See, the benefits of playing are that when you're in the game, you get to test yourself out. You get to bring the best that you have. And that win or lose in that moment, in that particular game, you can look in the mirror and you can say, I played. I brought my game. Do you realize how rare that is? That people can say, I lived this week full out, or I lived this day full out, or I did what I said I was going to do. See, the idea of playing, to me, is amazing. The other thing that you'll get that no spectator will ever get is the idea of wisdom. The wisdom that you get each week that you play, each phone call that you make, each time you get out there and put yourself at risk as a player, you gain something that no one can ever take from you. And it's one of the most powerful things you can gain. And that gain is the wisdom that you get because you get better at what you do. And sometimes it's a while. Sometimes it's a struggle to get better at what you do. But going back to my original idea, every moment is a choice and every choice has prices and benefits. The choice for you, me, all of us this week is, are we going to operate as a player or are we going to operate as a spectator? That choice is always in front of us. Now, one of the things in my leadership training that I talk about is one of the great qualities of leadership is understanding prices and benefits and the ability to make a choice based on knowing prices and benefits. So you guys know that for every choice you make, there is going to be a price and going to be a benefit. So that choice, spectator or player, how are you going to live it out this week? Now, one of the things that I want to encourage you guys to do is to reach out to more people this week and ask a particular question of people. It's what my sales training partner and I call the million-dollar question. The million-dollar question will make you $1 million if you ask it and you listen for the answer. And I'm going to give you that question right now. The question you ask people is, what's important to you? Again, seems so simplistic, but don't underestimate the power of that experience. What is important to you? When you ask that of another person and you are prepared to listen, not prepared to pitch them or to talk with them about the product so much in the moment, but just absolutely listen, you will learn some amazing things. Very few people actually get asked that question in their life. What's important to you? And if you're a person that can ask people that question, whether you're in a supermarket, the dry cleaners, with friends at dinner, a client or prospect, if you can ask the question, what is important to you, then you can have a deeper understanding and be able to serve that person in whatever way forwards them and what's important to them. Not what's important to us, not what's important to me, not listening to the answer and then talking about what's important to me, but really hearing what the person says. That puts you into a very special place of learning. And you're going to get some amazing answers. So this week, an action is to put yourself on the field. Do some of the things that maybe you have been putting off, and getting out there with people and serving them. Not with agenda about what you should be selling, pitching, or doing. But and if you're doing that and selling, of course you'll want to mention how your product can move them forward and what's important to them. But that's not exactly where you listen from. Where you listen from is this place of, what can I learn about this person that's going to have great, great value in my serving them? That's called being a player. That's called being on the field. I think that your life is an epic journey. And I think that everyone's life can be an epic journey when you decide to step into playing. You know, it's written in all the great literature about the hero's journey. One of the things that I do is a class called Principles of Leadership, The Hero's Journey. And it's a live training. Now, I do webinars. I do conference calls like this. I do some great work online, I feel. I mean, people have shared with me the value of it in their increasing their business and increasing and having greater relationships. But I love this live training that we do, and it's based on the hero's journey. So let me tell you a little bit about this hero's journey and see if you relate to this. As I said, in all great literature, there is written about the hero's journey. And the hero's journey has a specific experiences attached to it. This is from work by a man named Joseph Campbell, and he talked about the hero's journey and the specific places along the journey. And here's what he said about the hero's journey, and here's what we talk about in our training. Number one, the person that begins a hero's journey leaves home or a place they're familiar with or a place they feel safe or a place they understand. And they have what we call like a tug or a pull, that they have a destiny greater than they're fulfilling in the moment. So a person on a hero's journey has an amazing pull toward expression of their purpose and destiny. Now, in much of the great literature, the hero, the first thing the hero does is resist the idea of this pull. Because, you know, there's a certain mastery of where they're at, and they don't want to leave that. But a person that's a hero has to leave it. And they follow their destiny. And the first thing they do is they find themselves alone in this process. And they find themselves out in the desert, alone, or some version of that, in really going within themselves to take a look at what's going on and who do I need to be this hero. So that's the question. Who do you need to be be this hero? That's the question that we wrestle with, all of us. Who do I need to be? Not who am I, but who do I need to be this week? So just starting on Monday, who do I need to be to make this week the best week of my life so far? Then the next thing that happens is the hero meets companions, like Mary Jo and Lydia, like the people in your group, like the people at Manifest. All the people meet companions. And the thing about companions is, it's so interesting, is that the Lord of the Rings was a great movie, if some of you saw that, around this concept, is the companions are not always people that we like or not always people that we understand or relate to right away. See, that's the thing. Some of the people that you're going to travel with have something to teach you in a major way. You might not like it exactly, but we're all in it as a process of this hero's journey, and we find these companions that are often opposite of us in many ways. But the thing that is consistent with companions is that we're all following our destiny, and the destiny out there in the future looks like pretty much the same what we want to create and have an experience of, what we want to get to. So now, after working alone and then working with people that are on the same path we're on, then we start to learn and discover about personality, people, what people want, what's important to them, and we go into that study. And that's one of the things that Hero's Journey is, it's very powerful, is that we work with what is real motivation? What motivates people? How do people approach things? What is their viewpoint of seeing things? But in the hero's journey, then, there's always something called the battle. And the battle is the hero facing insurmountable odds. Think David and Goliath. That you, when you get to this place in the journey, you will face insurmountable odds. And this is a place where it would be easy to give up, where it gets really difficult, perhaps, and you've got to step into battle. For that metaphor, step into battle anyway. Maybe you don't want to make that call or talk to that person, or you just don't want to do it again, or you need to take a risk in rearranging your life in such a way that it supports your destiny, your purpose. Those kind of things, you're up against it, but the hero battles through. And amazing things happen. Most of the great battles we have are within ourselves, by the way, not external. And so once through that, what is the benefit of this great battle within ourselves, this idea of surrender to our greatness, all of this, what is that leading to? Well, it leads to the prize. And I think the prize could be abundance for you. It could be joy, satisfaction. Could be peace in your life. Could be freedom from worry. Could be feeling like you can absolutely give to other people, that you have what it takes to give gifts of all different kinds, and that you can make a difference in other people's lives. And whatever that joy is, that purpose is for you, that's the reward of a hero's journey. Imagine now all those people back there who don't want to leave any of that comfort or don't want to have anything different. Their life is fine. That's not a problem. We're not in judgment of any of that, but we're on a hero's journey. So the last part of the hero's journey is one of the most powerful parts. It's called the return. And the return is the part where you've gathered the wisdom, you fought the battle, and you return home. And that is the part where you share with other people all the experience that you've had. You share your wisdom in such a way that they can use it in their life. Because a hero, without the sharing of wisdom with other people, has not really completed their hero's journey yet. And so the sharing of everything you learned as a person on a hero's journey is one of the most powerful things that you can do. Now, if you're on this call, listen, think about the wisdom that you've gathered. No matter what part of the journey you're on, maybe you're at the beginning, maybe you're on the return, maybe you're in the battle right now, whatever it is, know that the wisdom that you have is going to make a huge difference for other people, sharing that and mentoring people. One of the great things that I've been doing is I do mentoring with people on a one-on-one basis. And if you're interested in talking to me about that, just email me and we can do a free 30-minute conversation about it, because I'm working with people now. And it's one of my greatest joys is passing on. And some of the people that I'm mentoring now have taken off, really broken through, and some of the things holding them back. And I've watched people create successful businesses, been with them on that path, amazingly successful businesses in a short period of time. It's amazing when you shift, a short period of time that you can shift things around. I've seen people do some great projects, like I have a person doing a great project in Australia around environmentally clean mining. I have somebody doing a great project in Africa around bringing clean water, those kinds of projects. All of the things, like Manatech is totally dedicated to the ending of hunger, being on those kind of projects is consistent with a hero's journey. And you should have your own as well. And that comes from mentoring. So know that every hero has mentors, people that are coaching them. People that I know, no matter where they are in business, have great coaches. You've all heard the expression, you know, you've all heard about Tiger Woods, the golfer. And even at the time, years ago, when he was at the top of his game, the best in the world, he had coaches. And as do most people in sports have coaches, even though they have a high expertise. So having a mentor coach is one of the most powerful things you can do. And I would consider doing that right away if you don't have that going on for yourself, is to find people that have produced the results. So the hero's journey is a decision one makes about stepping into playing in life, knowing their prices and benefits, but stepping forward anyway. So the last part of what I want to talk with you about is the action that I think has great value that I'm working with in my life right now as well. And this is called the hero's ritual. In my working with, 40,000 people over my career, literally over 40,000 people that I've spoken to, been in fairly intense trainings with. And the great thing about that is I've learned and learned and learned and learned and learned from people. I've noticed that there's a difference between people who struggle and people who are more successful. And the difference is, one of the differences is mindset, of course, but also this practical action I'm going to give you. And it's called the hero's ritual. Most people that are successful have a ritual in their life about the use of their time. So my challenge for you this week is to design a ritual for yourself. And I'll give you an example. Let's say that your goal, your direction, is to create more people that you can support in your business model, to bring more people in and for the value for them. So what you want to do is reach out, reach out, and reach out to people. The hero's ritual is taking a look at adjusting the time that you have so that it supports the main purpose of your life and your and some of your main objectives of what you want to accomplish, and taking the rest of what goes on and putting it in second place, or reevaluating where you are. So perhaps you wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and that you start your ritual by some taking care of your personal stuff, and then you jump into 1 hour or a half an hour of exercises. And then what you do is shift over and listen to a half hour of some motivational speaking, or maybe you do that while you're exercising. And then what you do is you have something to eat, and then you jump into your phone calls. Now, a great sales trainer, Eric Lofholm, a guy that I'm working with and in partnership now, he's talking about taking care of your phone calls and your connection first. Most of us do it backwards. We'll do Facebook first. We'll do arranging, getting ready to get ready. We'll do our organizing, writing, and all that kind of stuff. That's all part of the business and could be important and is important. But he said what you do is you do, the first thing is you do is connection. Now, I'm not saying that you should do that. You design your own hero's ritual. But the hard part is getting out there. The harder part you want to do first. So let's say you have just 2 hours, two solid hours, making connection with people on the phone or doing an appointment or anything else. Then you can get to organization. Then you can get to Facebook. Then you can do other things. So designing your ritual, and then designing your ritual for time with the kids or time with yourself or in an evening, having a good, great time with friends, all of that is designed in as well. So my challenge for you is to develop a ritual. Now, the thing about a ritual is you do this, you do it over and over and over until it becomes part of your success story. Designing a ritual for yourself is critical. Now, most of us get up and we handle what's called, when I was working for corporations, we used to call fighting fires, which is, oh, this comes in, this phone call comes in, this happens. And I think that the interesting thing is that we can spend days and days doing all that. A lot of it has to be handled, but what's important to us? This friend of mine who was very successful in home-based business, all over the world he had his downline, decided that he wanted to spend from 7 in the morning to 8:30 in the morning with his kids, and he wasn't going to take calls. Now, he had an office at home, and so he told everybody he would not be available till 9 o'clock, basically. Then he would start to answer calls and all that kind of stuff. And he had this office at home, and he could hear the phone ringing. Now, the challenge for him was he loved the game. He loved being in the game. He loved answering the phone calls. He loved taking these phone calls from all over, solving people's problems and going and working with people and coaching people. He loved it. And as he heard the phone ring, he was playing with his kids. He heard the phone ring. There was a tug inside him. Ooh, I want to go answer it. Who knows what the next challenge can be? This could be exciting. This could be a customer. But what he decided was that part of his hero's journey was to make sure that the family was taken care of, that he had spent time with what's really important to him. And what happened, he said, eventually was it took a while, a month, but people stopped calling before 9 o'clock. And he had his ritual down and in place. People finally realized they weren't going to get a call back, or they could leave they could leave a message, but they weren't going to reach him. And that's how he designed his hero's ritual. Then went to work and really kicked butt and had a great time with it, but he knew that he had spent time on what's important to him. So the challenge as we end this call is for you to design a hero's ritual for yourself. And a ritual, again, is something you repeat over and over. You don't allow things to get in the way of that repetition, or you arrange things with people so this repetition of experience, and you'll be surprised by Friday. That's some of the things you can accomplish, some of the challenges you run up against, too, as you try to renegotiate things with the people in your life. So that's the challenge, is to design the hero's ritual, knowing that every moment's a choice. Every choice has prizes and benefits. Every choice that we ever made got us to where we are right now. And every choice we're going to make now is going to get us somewhere else. So that's mature leadership. That's knowing that is powerful. A couple things that I'd like to make an offer on, and then I'll turn it back over to Lydia, or perhaps not. We'll see if she comes on. I'd like to have you connect with me at DEANPHD@earthlink.net if you would like to have 30-minute conversation with me about my mentoring process, or just talk about whatever you want to. It's fine with me. Just connect with me by email, and that's a private call. You and I can talk. So I'm enjoying doing that a lot. So please, if you want to take advantage of 30 minutes, give me a call, and I'll give you a page, and you can choose a time. The next thing is Amarillo, or Perryton, Texas, near Amarillo, between Amarillo, I think, and Spearman, Texas, in north part of Texas. We're going to have a Hero's Journey, a live training on July 24th through 26th. July 24th to 26th. So those of you up in the Panhandle area, or that you want to come up from Dallas or anywhere else and really have breakthrough experience in the Hero's Journey live with a whole bunch of people in the room and the excitement around that, give Carla a call, or, again, just message me on Facebook. I'm at Seminar Systems or Patrick Dean on Facebook, both those places. Message me that you're interested in more information about that. And, again, I've got the email, DEANPHD@earthlink.net. You can always connect with me. So I really appreciate you guys, and thank you very much.
Thank you,
Lydia,
Patrick.
You're welcome.
Back on, Mary Jo. Hopefully you hear me through the rain and the wind and the weather. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Great, thanks. I enjoyed it. What I heard, of course, we had in and out, but I can say that my whole life's been on that hero's journey. I don't know that we ever get off the hero's journey. We just continue. Our life is a journey, and you've made a huge influence on my pathway, and I just invite everybody to take Patrick up on that email and have a conversation with him. He's incredibly insightful. You know, he just has had a path in his life that has just caused him to be a very enlightened person, and I enjoy his information, and he's, like I said, made a major impact on me and helped me along my journey. So we thank you, Patrick, for sharing this morning. We thank everybody for being on the call, and look at your calendar, see if you could be available for that weekend in Amarillo. I know it would bless you immensely, and I know for some of you who are on the call from Seattle, it might be a little out of your range, but I know Patrick's working on this program and developing it all over the country, so it might come in your direction, but timing is everything, and I always look at people and say, so when is it that you're going to take this next step? So, right, isn't it? We can always put it off, and that's what procrastination is, part of our current journey, and it's probably one of those things we'd like to change. So now's the time to make that selection, to change that and make a better step. But definitely take advantage of making the phone call with Patrick, and he will share with you where you are today and give you more insight into that as well. So we thank you, Patrick. You're one of my faves, as you know. And thank everybody for being on the call. And don't forget to take a peek at this, re-listen to it. We're posting it. We did tape it. And we're just excited that we're all in a direction to make a difference in people's lives, because we truly know how to ask that question to people. What is important to you? And that's a very crucial question for all of us, if we're going to build a business around people. because that's what opens up their hearts and minds to listen to you. And you care about them, and you sincerely come from that position. So, again, Patrick, thanks much for all you contributed today, and I just am excited to have you as part of my life on my journey.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, bye, everybody.